Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
We covered on Friday night the trucker protests, the convoy, the Freedom Convoy 2022 going into Ottawa. We've been covering it for the last couple of weeks, and it looks like some interesting developments have transpired over the weekend, and I wasn't here on either Saturday or Sunday night, so I didn't get a chance to talk about it, so, and neither did you guys.
I have a really interesting update about the GoFundMe.
Ooh, the one that they took down and the $10 million GoFundMe that they then said they would give you a refund if you requested it. Otherwise, they're going to give it to a charity.
They're changing that now, and there's a very funny and good reason why.
All right, tell me.
So it started going viral, this guy's, I guess, Facebook post or something, where he said, I gave to the trucker fund, and guys, instead of requesting your refund through them, because you had until like the 19th of February to request your refund, go put a discrepancy or whatever it's called on your credit.
Charge back
on your card, because, and for the reason you give, say because they're not using the funds for what you wanted it for. It worked for that guy, and he said that it would hurt GoFundMe because it like charges them, and
there's a fee each time, and there's a possibility if you get $10 million worth of chargebacks, there's a possibility that whoever is providing your interface to the credit card companies is going to cut you off.
Yep.
From Cointelegraph.com, it looks like there is some sort of a Bitcoin fundraising platform. According to Kira Wright at Cointelegraph, the truckers protesting the vaccine mandates in Canada have turned to Bitcoin-based crowdfunding platform Tallycoin, following a barrage of mounting political pressure from all sides that culminated in GoFundMe axing the Freedom Convoy campaign. And so according to, let's see, shortly after they axed the campaign, a group of organizers moved their efforts to Tallycoin, which is built on the Bitcoin BTC blockchain. Quote, legacy financial infrastructure can sometimes be politicized and clamped down upon, whereas Bitcoin is a truly censorship-resistant method of communicating value, says their new fundraising page. And at the time of this writing, the Bitcoin fundraiser was up to over $300,000+ worth of Bitcoin. I believe it's getting closer to $1 million. I think as of now, I have not checked it personally, but I saw an image earlier today.
So. I saw that one of our friends shared a crypto fundraising thing for the truckers, and I just went and looked, and it is Tallycoin.
Okay, nice. And did you get the total? I'm trying to pull it up right now. Looks
I
like
lost it. Hold on. It's on Freedom to Cryptids.
Yeah, I've got it pulled up here. They've had over 4,000.
This is almost a million. It's 913,000.
There is already talk about a February 12th convoy from the West Coast in the United States, starting in California, heading over to New York City, apparently. I had heard initially.
New York City?
Yeah, initially I'd heard that they were going to be going to D.C., but now I'm seeing New York City as the potential destination.
Well, does D.C. have, vaccine mandates for when you go into stores and stuff like that?
That's a good question.
Because
I haven't heard.
I thought about this morning, and I thought, them going to D.C. will probably just get the military immediately called on them, and they'll, like, get violent against the protesters. But if they go to a city where they have the vaccine mandates for going into stores and stuff, they're kind of making a bigger point, and more people could come out and be like, hey, I'm actually against this, and the store owners could see how many people are against it. So
yeah, it'll be interesting, because traffic really sucks already in both DC and New York City, so it'll be a real challenge to, you know, even get in there in the first place with large numbers of trucks. But we'll see what they we'll see how they react to this. Again, that's only something they're talking about right now. It may start sometime next week. They say as of the 12th, perhaps, and it'll be like a 6-day ride across the United States. So we'll certainly keep you in the loop as that develops. You live in a city, you just kind of accept the idea that it's going to be a noisy environment. Well, and if you don't like it, don't live in the city. And or come up with some sort of way to remediate that. And, you know, little foam earplugs cost, I think, 50 cents.
Well, one thing that's weird about it is I thought it was already illegal to honk your horn if it wasn't for the purposes of avoiding an accident.
Hmm, that's probably true in a lot of places.
I don't know if it's everywhere, but yeah. I think it is true in Texas.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me if that were the case in many jurisdictions, but I don't know if that's true in Ottawa. So it's a good question.
And the other thing is, if I don't know if they have any free speech protection up there.
They
but
don't.
In the United States, if you were doing it for the purpose of protest, that might well it might well be considered speech to a point. Although yeah. I think anywhere in America, if you had people blowing their horns 24 hours a day, sooner or later you would get an injunction.
Well, before you go on, somebody on our chat over at chat.freetalklive.com who lives in Canada, he says the truckers have not been honking overnight. We were talking about the crackdown that is coming, and apparently it's already happening on to some extent in Ottawa, with reports coming out from the protesters that police are now arresting people for carrying around gas canisters. So if they believe that you're trying to bring gas to the truck drivers, they will arrest you. Now, apparently the counter protest to this has been to have protesters walk around with gas cans full of water. Just to, you remember that it reminds me of the old 420s that we did, Nobody, back in the day when we had the jokers and the tokers one time, when there was a bunch of people who, they didn't want to get high, they weren't marijuana smokers, but they wanted to stand in solidarity with us, so they rolled up hand-rolled cigarettes, or like clove, or you know, something else that wasn't
that
actual.
That looked like joints.
Yeah, it just looked like a joint, and so they mixed in with the marijuana users, and everybody lit up together just to make it even more confusing for the enforcers.
The second arrest was a guy named Evan, and he was actually arrested for smoking mint that he had grown in his own garden.
You need a trucker to tow a trucker, right? Like, you got to get one of those big ass wreckers out there. There's a certain kind of your average tow
wrecker.
Your average tow truck cannot handle moving a big rig, right? Like, you've got to get a big unit out there to hook up to that thing.
And you know, Justin Trudeau doesn't know how to do that.
Certainly not. And I suspect most of the cops can't do it either. That's why they call in the professionals. And like here in Keene, New Hampshire, which is a little town of, 20,000 or so people, there are a handful of tow truck companies around. And the way it works here is they get it's like a round robin thing where whenever the police need a tow, they have a list of all the tow companies and they call the next one on the list. And then after that, they move to the next one, and then they move to the next one. So it's quote unquote fair. They're not, playing favorites that way. And so if that were to be the case in Ottawa, if they call all the tow companies and not a single one of them is willing to come out there and move their brothers, then they're stuck. The cops cannot do anything except write tickets
to people holding gas cans.
Yeah, I mean, the military probably has the equipment to move those because they have their own, their own big rigs.
They are going around and confiscating gas from various different camps, I guess. So it sounds like you've got the main area of the protest going on right across from Parliament in Ottawa, but then there's outer sort of parking lots or whatever where people are also parked, and they're just staying there for what, maybe there's just not enough room in downtown, or they're there as backup.
I think they're using them as staging areas. Also for logistics.
Yeah,
it's weird that they're not going after the truckers but are going after the supporters. When you say it like that, it's kind of weird.
Well, I mean, the police are going to pick off the easy marks, right? So the cops are cowards. That's one thing you always have to remember. And so the cops are not going to go into the thick of it. In fact, somewhere, I don't know if it was the police chief or some mainstream report, acknowledged that the truckers outnumber the police. And as you pointed out, Nobody, the military has yet to activate in any way. And we saw some reports saying they were refusing to go in there. So the cops are outnumbered. And no cop is going to go into a situation where they don't have the numbers to take down the people that they're targeting. So they're going to wait. They're going to, you know, pick off the stragglers. Groups of protesters strode past police cars carrying fuel containers onto Wellington Street, where approximately 200 vehicles remain parked. It was unclear if the containers were filled with diesel. Some protesters have taken to carrying empty jerry cans with the intention of confusing police and wasting enforcement resources.
I can't believe how BA the Canadians are suddenly being...
BA? Badass?
Oh, I forgot I could say that on
the
air.
Okay, yeah, you can say that. Well, you know, when... Well, thankfully, when people are pushed to... No, ba is what the Americans say.
Yeah.
When people are pushed to the brink, they will find the courage that is necessary. Unless they're in Australia, where apparently they'll just go ahead and get locked up in prison camps with no issue whatsoever. But
well, there have been protests in...
Big protests.
In Australia and brutally violent police responses to those protests. Yeah, they're beating the hell out of old people.
We've seen those videos.
I've seen some horrific videos out of there.
And like the pushback from the cops with their shields, like pushing back at them and stuff.
The question is, there have been huge ones there.
It's just
the people still paying taxes? Because if you're getting beaten by the police, grandmas are getting thrown around, and you have an hour
of outside time a day.
Yeah, then it's time to stop. I think it's time to stop paying these people. More than 100 Highway Traffic Act and provincial offense notices have been issued. So these are just tickets for offenses that include excessive honking, driving the wrong way, defective muffler, no seatbelt, alcohol readily available, and having the improper class of driving license. So
alcohol readily available while driving?
I doubt.
Yeah, it's probably like open intox here. Where you're driving or you're in a vehicle,
right?
And
container.
You have either an open container or maybe just a container in the cab,
right? Whether they're actually moving in the vehicle is not an issue. It's if the keys are in the ignition in some jurisdictions, that's enough. I think in some other places they don't even need to be in the ignition.
Most places they don't need to be in the ignition. I think,
which is insane, but that's the world we live in.
Yeah.
So that's story from OttawaCitizen.com, and other police agencies are coordinating resources with the Ottawa Police Service. But despite that, the police chief said more resources are needed. A group of 7 Sudbury police officers patrolled past a group of 8 York Regional police officers Monday as a group of protesters hurled abuse at television journalists filming in front of the West Block. Quote, "You sold your soul to the devil," one man yelled. "Tell the truth. You're telling people lies. It's all lies." The Ottawa Citizen is doing kind of like an hour-by-hour updates on their website of what's going on with the protests, the Freedom Convoy. And so we mentioned to you that there was like 100 tickets that were written. Highway Traffic Act tickets were written, I guess, on Sunday. But there's actually a total number here. According to Bylaw and Regulatory Services, since January 28th, Bylaw and Regulatory Services has issued 787 parking tickets for various violations in and around the demonstration area, including 568 over the weekend, said the director in an email to the newspaper. Quote, "The goal of parking enforcement within the perimeter of the demonstration is to ensure that emergency lanes are clear and the flow of traffic is maintained. All service requests directly related to the demonstration are being redirected to OPS. I don't know what that is. We understand this is a frustrating and difficult time for residents who live and work in the downtown core. So, well, I guess the emergency lanes are clear because all the video shows that there is a lane that's available. So it's like a 4-lane street and 3 of the 4 lanes are occupied. So I guess that means that he's saying the flow of traffic is maintained. Obviously, the traffic isn't flowing in the other 3 lanes. So I wonder if they're issuing tickets. To whom are they issuing tickets? Are they issuing tickets to the truckers? The whole point is to make these people, these government goons, work for their convictions. We know they're probably going to get the conviction because, you know, you parked in the wrong spot or whatever, right? Like, we're talking about hundreds of people, almost 800 parking tickets issued. You know, you weren't in an authorized parking area. They issued you the ticket. Odds are you're going to lose. But you can make them have to lose an hour of their time. make them have to have the prosecutor show up in court and make an argument in front of, you know, whether it's a judge or a jury or whatever. I don't know if you can get juries for this in Ottawa, but if you can get a jury, that's even better, because then you might have an ally on the jury who could refuse to convict you.
Oh, yeah. That. Yeah, 1 out of 12, I would think it wouldn't be hard.
I do think we're making a lot of assumptions about Canadian law, though, because, I mean, they don't even have the First Amendment. Do they have all this other stuff?
They don't have any of the amendments. They don't.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, they do have a right to protest. There is something in the Canadian Constitution.
Yeah, they've got a thing that they call, I think, the basic law, that is supposed to enshrine or reflect their rights, but of course government violates them anyway.
At the heart of, oh, by the way, they did issue a state of emergency, so-called. The mayor of the city of Ottawa has called this now a state of emergency, saying things are quote-unquote out of control. These guys aren't criminal elements. It's not like a convention of thugs. It's a convention of peaceful people who believe in freedom, who are doing such dastardly things as throwing a dance party in the streets. I saw video footage of them doing the train, you know, where you get behind somebody and everybody kind of walks in a train as they're dancing around.
Cha-cha.
They were doing that.
Congo line.
The Congo, thank you. Congo line.
I just called it cha-cha. Is that something?
Cha-cha, I think, is a type of dance, but I could be wrong about that.
Oh. Yeah, it's cha-cha is I don't remember.
But they
exactly
were doing all of those things.
But I think it's something couples do.
They were doing those things in the streets. This is not a dangerous crowd. This is not a serious danger or a threat to the safety and security of residents. But that's what the press release said from the mayor's office. He says it highlights the need for support from other jurisdictions and levels of government. It also provides greater flexibility within the municipal administration to enable the city of Ottawa to manage business continuity for essential services for its residents, and enables a more flexible procurement process, which could help purchase equipment required by frontline workers and first responders. And we also know what the real reason a state of emergency gets issued is, because it makes it so they can ignore more people's rights. Hundreds of counter-protesters yelled, "Go home!" to protesters on Saturday. And both police board members and the chief said they don't have the resources to deal with the volatile situation. Mm. Well, I'm sure they'd be happy to go home as soon as Ottawa stops effing with their homes.
Yeah.
And stops telling them what they can do or can't do.
Yeah, you can't just go home when you know the government is going to invade your home and impose things on you that violate your rights, you know?
Provincial officials Sunday sent a clear message that Ottawa police have all the resources they've asked for and the authority to act, as Toronto did. And we did see some footage that Toronto police are in the streets in heavy numbers. So I don't know if Toronto's expecting an influx of trucks or what the police are in the streets preparing for there. But it does make me wonder if we're going to see the trucker protest expand. Well, will it go to other big cities?
They have already. They're in Winnipeg. That's where the guy in a mask plowed through a crowd. That was Winnipeg.
Are there truckers there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And also, Montreal is about to get a convoy, according to a YouTuber that I watch from Montreal named The Truther Girls.
Well, the Albuquerque police, our city had started on Sunday nights giving like 100 or more speeding tickets on Central Boulevard towards the west side. So I'm really happy. And I'm just letting the
You take a lot of pleasure in other people's misfortune, don't you?
Well, you know, people here, they think that speed limit is a suggestion. It's not a recommend. It's like a recommended speed that you do. Now it's going to be forced. Well, you know, they're doing that on the west side because of that 7-year-old boy that got killed. You know, that's what brought it forth, because otherwise they would have the attitude like, you know, speeding is not a crime unless you hurt somebody. But after you hurt somebody, it's just too late, because they're dead or they're put in the hospital or their back broken.
You're saying the police would have had the attitude of it's no big deal if a kid hadn't died?
Well, the police always wanted to, public safety, they always wanted to enforce the speed limit. But
it's not about
like
public
you,
safety. It's about revenue.
Yeah.
Speeding tickets are about getting money for the government in the government gang in Albuquerque.
The rich people that had a lot of rice, they made them share their rice with everybody.
Uh-huh.
So, and then if they did not share the rice, they kind of didn't do so well.
You mean they were murdered?
Yeah. Prison camps.
But, yeah, that's not doing so well.
Yeah. So,
But I still like communism is the fact that all
Yeah, because you don't believe anything. You like it because you don't believe anything anyone says about the truth about communist dictatorships and communist so-called paradises or whatever. You don't believe any of it. You have a fantasy about what you think it would be like, and it's never been that.
The good thing about it is that why should the rich people be fat and have all that rice when everybody else is starving to death?
Okay, then they should all starve.
If everybody is starving to death, that's probably a government... there's probably a government behind that happening because people are able to take care of themselves pretty well. All you need is a piece of land and you can grow food.
Yeah, when you're allowed to decide what to plant and when to harvest and how to run that land. But in North Korea, you don't get that freedom.
No.
It's all run by the state.
I still believe that the Russian boys, they're willing to die for communism to have an equal and fair society.
You realize that the Russians overthrew the communists?
Yeah, she thinks that it's a conspiracy and that Russia is still communist. I forgot, you haven't been here in a while, nobody. Another angle that the establishment media tries to take is to try to say that cryptocurrency isn't fair to minorities or... Just so, it's ridiculous. I can't even really explain it because of how bad the argument
that's
is.
So
it's
dumb.
So stupid.
Like, there's plenty of people that of all shapes, sizes, and colors that are interested in cryptocurrency. There's a lot of people that understand what good money is, what value actually is.
There's a lot of people in Africa trading in cryptocurrency.
Absolutely.
For that matter.
Well, this article from The Economist is called "The Charm of Cryptocurrencies for White Supremacists: White Power, Dark Money."
Is Chris Cantwell in this article?
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't say Chris Cantwell, I don't think, but it talks about the
crying Nazi.
No, the torch.
Oh, the protest in Charlottesville. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It does bring that up. Actually, I don't think it brings up Chris Cantwell specifically. On August 11th, 2017, far-right groups from all over America came to Charlottesville, Virginia, to protest against the removal of a Confederate statue. The next day, a white supremacist drove his car into a crowd of counter-protesters, killing one of them.
Uh-huh. He's now in prison. I don't know where Stefan Molyneux has his wallet or whatever, but obviously the Southern Poverty Law Center's looked at it. I suspect if you look at that wallet and you scroll back, and you'll see that the bulk of those contributions came from libertarians at places like Porkfest and through his website before he became a white supremacist. I don't think he started going that way until around Cantwell's, when Cantwell did, and that would have been 2016, 2017.
Well, that answers the question about Cantwell for me a little bit, because I used to always think, if he was really a libertarian, supposedly, before, I've never listened to him on the show. I've only listened to Hippie versus Nazi and Shemale versus Nazi. Mm-hmm. But if he really was a libertarian before, I always wonder, how does somebody go from being a libertarian to being not a libertarian if they're, like, seriously into the ideology? But it makes sense if there was somebody who was on the internet, like Stefan Molyneux, and he was really good and everybody liked him. I've heard his name a lot, but I've never listened to any of his stuff. And then he slowly led people down the path of white supremacy. I could see that being like a psyops, and it changed a lot of people into like not being libertarian anymore.
Not
like
a lot
Cantwell.
Of people, just Cantwell.
Maybe not a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, I suspect he didn't change as many people as he acquired other people, like people who are already racist or whatever.
I like to discuss the idea of the validity of protests in general. Maybe I'm a little sheltered as I live in a small town area where they basically don't exist.
Okay.
But all I see is politicians going, "Oh yeah, that's a great idea," and right back to business.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Protests don't really have much of an impact on politicians. I'm reminded of the old quote by one of the, I believe it was a Reagan administration bureaucrat named Alexander Haig, who said, let them protest so long as they pay their taxes.
Exactly. I guess you could argue tax protesters would be something, but even without numbers, is that really even viable?
Yeah, they're so few and far between. I mean, it's hard to say that you'll ever see a significant tax protest.
Well, it always requires numbers, but
correct.
You know, there have been a lot of governments that have fallen due to persistent protesters. If people get out in the streets and they won't give up, then any government will eventually collapse.
I think a big problem in Canada is the Queen still runs that place, and a lot of people like to live in denial of that.
I don't know if that's the case. I know they separated from the British Empire somewhat.
What were we saying there, yeah. James?
The Queen can actually remove the Prime Minister at will. It would be obviously ill-advised if he was voted in, but she has that power. And I know you guys have crossed the border because I live close to Canada too, and her portrait's over in every government building that you have to go in.
And on their money.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
That's true, James. I think you bring up a good point, although I got to agree with nobody here that if a protest is sustained for long enough and the circumstances are right, then you can see some change. But however, we did not see that happen with Occupy, and that was a sustained protest that did go on for quite some time in major cities in the United States. So it doesn't always guarantee that change is going to occur. In that case, it was simply co-opted, Occupy was.
Well, the problem with Occupy is they were pro-government protesters.
True. And, that's true.
You know, that doesn't work very well.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.